Welcome, welcome. Get a bullet. All right. Always good to get together, we say. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. Glad you're with us. Jim mentioned his announcements that I've been around for a few years. I have a birthday coming up. It'll be 77, in case you're curious. I'm supposed to say you don't look like it. I'm getting older, my voice is getting weaker, so if there's any time you can't hear me, just kind of hold your hand up and I'll try to speak up, but there might be a problem with that because with my age, my eyesight's going too. I may not see your hand. But there is an outline if you'd like to follow along. Titled it, The Christian's Benefits. Benefits. Every so often, someone will ask me, what's the benefit of being a Christian anyway? And they'll say, Brian, what's in it for me? But Brian, what am I going to get out of it? Oh, we're looking for something in return. So that's what our lesson is this morning. I want to tell you about God's return when you become a Christian. And we've heard the expression, I know, or maybe have, membership has its privileges. Membership has its privileges. By membership, I mean a person belonging to a designated organization. And by privilege, it means that you have a right to certain things, or you have an advantage. You have a favor that's been granted to you or to an individual that's withheld from another because of your membership. And so any relationship in this world carries with it some certain implications. For example, because I'm a citizen of the United States, I'm granted certain privileges, or freedoms, or rights. Because I might be employed at ABC Company, I receive benefits that others do not enjoy. Because you're not an employee, you're not a member of ABC Company. Or because I might be a card-carrying member of a certain group, I receive the benefits that it offers. And sometimes I might go into a store and make a purchase, and they'll want the question to ask, oh, do you have a membership with us? No. Well, they might say, oh, that's too bad. You don't get the 39 cents off. Or you have that card that gets you into a certain big box store. Or you're a member of AAA, or Kaiser, or you have your driver's license. All those card-carrying things give you a certain privilege. And you're granted a benefit that others who do not have that card, they can't enjoy. In a similar way, because I'm a Christian, in Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. There's certain benefits or blessings or rights or privileges by being in Christ Jesus. There's certain blessings from above that God has reserved for those who are in Christ Jesus. So what's the benefit? What am I going to get out of being a Christian? What's in it for me? Now I've listed just a couple things in your notes. There's abundant more. But I hope these will get your mind thinking in this particular direction. Number one, because I'm a Christian, all my sins are forgiven. All of them. Someone may say to me, Brian, I'm not sure that God will forgive all of my sins because, you know what, my sins are too horrible. And then they'll add on to that and say, my sins have been committed too many times. And then they'll add another one and say, and my sins have been committed for too long a time. I don't think God can forgive me of my sins. Oh, but yes, he can. I want that benefit of forgiveness of sins. I've made mistakes. I've fallen short too many times. I need assurance from my Maker that I've been forgiven. I want to know if that membership will provide that blessing. And it will. In Romans 3, verse 23, I know it says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Yeah. But the promise is in Acts 2, verse 38. Peter is preaching to the devout Jews on the day of Pentecost, and he's convinced them that they've crucified the Christ. They murdered the Messiah, and they stop his sermon, and they say, what shall we do? We're guilty as charged. He says in verse 36, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. They heard that. What are we going to do about it? Is there any hope? Can I be forgiven? And Peter and the apostles answered, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, no one's left out, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of heaven, for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. But I murdered the Messiah for the remission of your sins. I crucified the Christ, the remission of your sins. All of them. Membership has its blessings or privileges. When Jesus went to the cross, he died and shed his blood to cleanse me of my sin, your sins, all of us. And when I was baptized, his blood cleansed me. And I became, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Really? Yeah. Membership has its privileges. The forgiveness of sins. Jesus is introduced at his birth by the angel. In Matthew 1, verse 21, you'll call his name Jesus to Joseph and Mary, for he will save his people from their sins. Forgiveness of sins, number one. Number two, I have the Holy Spirit within me. Another blessing. And again, that promise was to those devout Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. After, remember, they were guilty. We crucified the Christ. We murdered the Messiah. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then it says, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words, he testified, exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. When I became a Christian, when I had my sins forgiven, there was that added blessing also of the receiving of the Holy Spirit. It's in the text. Paul said, reminds us of this in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Says, don't you know? I always like it when the verse says that. Don't you know? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, the gift of the Holy Spirit helps me to realize the importance of living the Christian life, and that membership has its privileges or its blessings. Because I'm a Christian, I have that God-given spirit within. And an added blessing, you think, okay, what is that going to do for you? One situation that Paul lists in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. He says, in him, meaning in Jesus, you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, meaning it's still in Christ, having believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Wait a minute. Go back to that Acts 2, verse 38 and 39. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for to you is the promise. He promised, I'll not only forgive you of your sins, I will give you my Spirit. It's promised. It's promised. And then it said, now what, so what's in it for me? Who is, meaning the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance? Yeah. So what's in it for me? What's the blessing of membership, of being a Christian? All my sins have been forgiven. And God's given me his Spirit. He's given that to me. Number three, I have fellowship with the family of God. Fellowship with God's people. In Ephesians 3, verses 14 and 15, it speaks about the whole family of God. Ah, the whole family. Family? He writes to the church, the brethren, the Christians, those who are in Christ Jesus. He says, your family. Your family. If you're family, it means you're of a household. You are related to the people in that house, that family. You are kindred. And then we think about spirituality, being in Christ Jesus. God is our Father. Those who are members of the New Testament church, Christians, have all been begotten by the same Heavenly Father. We're family. We're family. In Galatians 6, verse 10, it says, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Family. Family. So if you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, we're family. We're family. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says, again, added blessing. What's in it for me? Therefore, you're no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Household. Family. We become members of the family by being born again, by becoming Christians. Peter gives a little explanation of this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. He says, since you've been you've purified your souls in obeying the truth, all right, my soul has been purified, born again, brand new, in obeying the truth through the Spirit, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, born. This says we're physical into a family. There's a spiritual birth into God's family. Having been born again. Because we've repented and been baptized. We believe the promise. There's a blessing. A benefit. Membership has its privileges. There's a song that we sometimes sing in our hymnal. Called God's Family, up to the, you know, hymn number 744. But the author of the song has captured the thought that's being presented here. He begins in the first stanza, we're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. Second stanza. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory, through his precious name. And then the chorus. And sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. Membership has its blessings. Sure does. Sins are forgiven. God's blessed me with His Spirit. I have fellowship with family. With family. Number four, I have God as a Father to whom I pray. Some people will say, well, I pray to God. I didn't know the difference in the words. Yeah, you pray to God. I pray to God the Father. Because having been born again by the same Heavenly Father. So I don't just say God up there or higher being. No, I say Father. Father, this child, been born into a family. It's a special privilege. If you're not a member of the family, you can pray to God. But I'm in the family. I say God and Father. And Father. When Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, in Matthew 6, verse 9, he says, "Then after this manner," these are the disciples, the brethren, those followers of Christ. He says, "After this manner, pray, our Father in heaven." There's a blessing in being a disciple, in being a Christian. When I pray, I say, Father, Father. The Apostle Paul began his letter to the church in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. He says, "To the saints, the faithful brethren in Christ," and you're in the city of Colossae, "grace and peace from God, our Father." Our Father. See, membership has its privileges. Paul added in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father." To the Christians in Colossae, yeah, you can call upon God as your Father. Special privilege, benefit, blessing, the right to say Father in heaven. Father. So because I'm a Christian, a child of God. Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, "And because you're sons," Christians, family, sons, "because you are sons, God sent forth His Spirit into your hearts." Received the Holy Spirit when we became Christians. "Because you're sons, God sent forth His Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father," or "Father, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." You see the blessing of being in Christ. We're son. Father, I meet you again today. Just as I bless our children, you know, when they come to me and say, "Dad, Father," I'm more likely I'll give them benefits. But if one of the world's children or your children came to me and said, "Mr. Anderson, could you help me out?" I say, "Oh, your father." Father to the children, my children receive blessings that your children don't receive from me. But I bless my children. Privilege. Membership has its privileges. The last one I've listed for you is, I have assurance of eternal life. Assurance of eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5, beginning of verse 11, says, "And this is the testimony." Ah, what's the witness? What's the testimony? What's the deliverance? What's the best? "That God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Membership has benefits. God's given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. "These things write I unto you, who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal salvation." How do you know you have eternal salvation? Go by the book. Go by the book. These things are written that you may know. And then he says, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I write these things so that you can know you have eternal life. But membership has its blessings. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance. I have an inheritance of eternal life because I'm a son of the Father. Family inheritance. God will give his children an inheritance of eternal life. Another place, I'll close with this one. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 10. Peter says, therefore, brethren, membership. Christians in the family, the church, brethren, be more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble, and an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. So we begin by saying, someone say, Brian, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? What's the benefit of being a Christian? Well, I've given you five things to consider. Every sin has been forgiven. Every sin. I have the Holy Spirit within me. A guarantee that God will fulfill his promises. I have fellowship with the family, with brethren, those of like precious faith. I have God as a Father that I can pray to. I have the assurance of eternal life because I'm on God's side and I'm a child. That's the lesson, that's the invitation we extend for you to become a child of God. We've mentioned the procedure, the process. It's not more there. Simply, if you've heard the word of God, Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? It's a great question. How can you believe in someone you haven't heard? And then he says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Have believed it. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him, to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 24, if you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, repent or you'll perish. I don't want to perish. So I want to hear what God has to say. I want to hear his words. These things are written that you might have eternal life. And I want to believe that biblical message. And believing it, I'm going to turn toward that good news message. And turn my life around. I'm going to confess my faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'm going to be baptized. And they cried out in Acts chapter 2, what shall we do? Repent. We've already heard Peter's sermon. They took it to heart, believe. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you by the authority of heaven. For the remission of your sins and receive the gift of God's Spirit. That's the invitation for our message this morning. You're subject to it. If you've not obeyed that gospel message already, you have that opportunity. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, let's stand together and we'll sing this song of encouragement, a song of invitation. Whosoever will, they come. Just simply at the close of the song, let your request be known.